get into it. Let's just get into it. Well, firstly, wasn't it crazy? Last month, we had Paul, Keith and Amy pop on the call, and Paul, Keith talked about Enoch and all these other things. And the next thing we know, I'm on somebody else's screen. Okay.
I'm back.
Zoom's a funny thing, isn't it? Anyone can hijack this meeting at any point. So
I'm getting used to it now. I know which buttons to press.
Yeah. Any one of you guys can take over at any point. I'm okay with that. Because, you know, it's all good fun. Paul, Keith and Amy were on last night. Okay, I'm going to try not to be too whacked. When I was preparing today, I felt quite a strong whine. And I know I've been like it for days because I can't remember how to do things. I was in the shower today and I couldn't remember how to turn on the shower. That's how bad it is. And
wow.
I didn't tell you that, Rach.
No, you didn't know.
Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. So anyway, we love pyramids, somebody say it. Yes, we love pyramids. Isn't it amazing how, like, the Illuminati and all that, just a slight conspiracy thing, they love the symbol of the pyramid and the eye, and yet there's always the twisted counterfeit of a righteous real, Nancy calls it. The pyramid of Giza, just going to talk about that for a second. We now know there's evidence to suggest all of that came before the Egyptians. The Sphinx, the erosion on the Sphinx, all the archaeology on it. And the Giza pyramid never had any tombs in it. Some people think that they used these as tombs after a previous generation. And the pyramid of Giza, nobody even knows today what it does in terms of, does it produce energy? Does it produce frequency? I've read theories that it produced well-being, that others believe it's connected to cosmic gateways and other things. But Paul Keith was saying how he felt the Lord had shown him that Enoch built the Pyramid of Giza. And he prophesied this with a friend who was in ministry, and he believed the same. So he was saying that there are passages underneath. And within days of us doing that video, there was a big story in the press that there's all these passages underneath that they found on scans. Now, I was watching the Joe Rogan show the other day. Most of you guys know Joe Rogan. It's the biggest podcast online. And he interviews some great people. He was interviewing this guy about ancient sites. And they were showing that there's a whole network of passages. Some people believe it might go really deep down. Anyway, I don't want to go off track. I'm going to stick to my notes. I've got my notes. So let's stick to our notes. But one of the things that happened to me in 2015, God started showing me more about the hidden history. And there's a great series on Netflix. I highly recommend this, called Ancient Apocalypse. And it shows that 11,000 years ago, there was a flood, and there's all these advanced technology sites around the world. Now, I believe that's all connected to the Nephilim and Enoch, because the question they ask in that series is, where did all this advanced technology come from for these hunter-gatherers? And there's all this serpent symbology in there. And as you know, the cherubim and the seraphim, the fallen ones, were serpent-like. And I believe Graham Hancock, watch it on Netflix, brilliant series. Graham Hancock, I think, is missing a big piece of the puzzle. And the piece of the puzzle that he's missing is the watchers who came down from heaven. Because he's trying to say there's an advanced civilization that went all around the world, and there was a global culture, and no one could find where they were from or who they were. And they taught all these people this modern technology. And they know that it went advanced, ultra advanced, almost overnight. And they're trying to say, how did this happen? I believe he's missing the fact that Enoch and all the legends of the worlds do teach that the watchers came down from heaven. And that, you know, I recently did a talk on angels, is that our planet, you have to put Earth and Enoch in a bigger story. So I've got the cosmos behind me right now, this beautiful nebula, is that the context of all of this stuff is that we are in a cosmic framework, heavenly realm, and there are beings, higher dimensional beings, that came down from heaven, and the Genesis talks about it. They messed it up, the earth, and they taught, if you read the book of Enoch, they taught advanced technology and all these other things, and the Lord had to wipe all of that out. But there's an interesting line. It says they were on the earth then and after the flood. And if you watch Graham Hancock series on Netflix, Ancient Apocalypse, you'll see somebody went around the earth bringing these technologies. Now, I believe there is a bigger story going on here that God wants to show in our time, because our time is the age of apocalypse. And apocalypse isn't a scary word. Apocalypse just means the unveiling, the revealing of reality, the reality of Jesus Christ. So what's happening to us now as a species is we are remembering. We are remembering, and we're realizing actually what we've been taught in school is not true. What we've been taught in archaeology, not true. But what we see is there's a bigger story going on here. There's advanced technology in the past. There are designs and pyramids and shapes all over the earth that show a heavenly context. Mm-hmm. And Jesus came in the context of destroying the work of Lucifer. Jesus came to destroy the work of the evil one and break the energetic system that was on our species to release us back into our true blueprint. So there's a big story going on here. And I personally love it, because as I pursued union with God and engaged heaven, then I've had new questions. And like I said to you guys before, to journey is to question. And the more you encounter God, the more questions you'll begin to have, that we are starting to question things and see things in a new way. So it's in that context that we're talking about Enoch. This is a good talk. This is beautiful talk. I was amazed at the response to the video. I felt sometimes when I do a talk for you guys, I feel like the Lord say, put it online.
Mm-hmm.
I put the YouTube online and man, it's had 53,000 views or something already. And 300 or more comments on YouTube. And what I found is people are really on board. I've only had 5 negative comments out of 300 and something comments. And people are really, really wanting to engage with these truths. So I feel honored to be talking about Enoch again. As I said last month, if you'd spoken to me and said, oh, you're going to actually encounter this being Enoch, it never occurred to me. At the time I encountered Enoch, I was really pursuing revival. I was wanting to see like the George Whitefield anointing, preaching, power. And then I was on an aeroplane going to France, and Holy Spirit just spoke to me really gently. I was enjoying union. And he said, do you want to go to heaven? And I said, yes. And I expected to be in Eden or the throne. I was really like, what is going to happen now? I knew it was an unusual moment. I fell into a trance. I fell out of the aeroplane and fell upwards. And I'm in the light, just pure light. And for a moment, I freaked out because I was thinking, what's going on? Where am I? I can't see anyone. And this beautiful man stepped out of it. And I still remember to this day his face, because it was so striking, the love and the joy. And he smiled a wonderful smile. And he said, my name's Enoch. And I was so stunned, I couldn't move. But he showed me the future acts of mankind. He showed me Isaiah's book is open. He showed me that people are landing destiny scrolls all over the world, even if they're not Christians. That blew me away. I was thinking, how is it that God's using all these people and they're not Christians? So I had to change my paradigm on how God saw things, that he looks for people with a heart for the kingdom. And anyway, all this other stuff happened. And then he gave me his wine. And when I drank his wine, I actually had a physical taste. That's how powerful this ecstasy was. I was on the aeroplane, but I was then aware of my body and I could taste this oaky wine. And I remember my hands and body getting hot and my fingers tingling. And I went into an expanded state where I knew I drank Isaiah's words that we will be oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. We will rebuild the ruined cities, the repair of the bridge, and repair the genetics. We'll repair the generations. And I'd gone into a scripture, and that began a panoramic experience for me. And I don't want to sound, you know, crazy in saying this, but I think it's okay to be vulnerable with you guys, is that after the encounter ended, I thought it was over. But what happened was, whenever I went back to spend time meditating with the Lord, I'd go back into it. And for the next year, it was like the wine taught me. And I would get more and more concepts and ideas. And it was like I was encountering Enoch, but through entanglement. Isn't it crazy that you can have an ordinary day where you're on an aeroplane? I was flying to France to a youth conference. And in one moment, God can radically change you. And you'll never be the same again. And I want to tell you now, if you're on this call, God's going to radically change you. We are in one of the most unusual times in the entire history of the earth. I could speak for hours on this, but I won't because I want to stick to Enoch. But what I was shown is we are in the literal age where the book of Isaiah is going to be fulfilled. Oaks of righteousness, the glory will be seen, nations will come. It's going to last a long period of time. It's not all going to happen all night. But this next century is beyond anything, and we will go into a spiritual world where no longer will the theory of evolution be the explanation for our reality. No longer will anyone on earth think that death is the end. They'll know there's life after death. No more will we think we're the only people in the cosmos. We'll have a cosmological understanding. No more will we be stuck on the earth, but we'll have cosmic consciousness. No more will we age like we age now, but we'll have growing lifespans until our lives are as long as you want, until you want to graduate into other places. We will know how to govern health, govern the environment, produce food, manifest through creative words. There'll be communities all over the world. And we'll have a joy-based economy, and these communities will be about building your destiny. So no more will it be about economics or education. It will be about who are you and what is your joy and what brings you joy. There will be communities all over the world doing this, specializing in architecture or creativity, music, song, science. And these communities will be all over the world. And some people will change communities when their destiny scroll changes, but we'll be able to heal people energetically. It will be a thing that we do as a species, and our bodies will begin to be regenerated, and we will have new capacities in our organs, our sight, our perception. We won't need to eat as much as we do now because our bodies will be so efficient that we'll run on a fraction of what we run now. We'll be able to grow teeth. We'll have silky hair. Our hair will shimmer. It'll be like a crown of glory. And there'll be many, many other things. All of these things I was shown through encountering Enoch over the last, it was 2010, but it's continued. Periodically, I get taken back up into it and I'm taught new things. That's what made me aware that there was life in the universe. Mm. I was aware that God wasn't seeing it through a Christian lens. He was seeing it through government and well-being and joy. And through Jesus, of course, through Jesus, but not in a religious way, but in a way of who is for the kingdom. And the verse he gave me for this in the heavens was King Cyrus. King Cyrus was not a Jew. He was a pagan, a Babylonian, but he funded the temple being rebuilt. He released the soldiers and people and resources to do it because the Lord, it says, anointed him and called him King Cyrus, my anointed, and anointed him to create the future. And what I saw coming from heaven was these anointings to create the future. These anointings coming for open-hearted people, or what we'd call high consciousness people, who were engaging the blueprint of love. That love is the age we're coming into. It's the age, and we're moving from disciple nations to discipling an age of grace, an age of wisdom, an age of wonder. Now, all of this is going to happen in such a fast time, like a century or so. I don't know the exact timings of it, that this is going to be the time of the most forced change in consciousness in the history of the earth. So much so, they're in the heavenly realms. They call it a divine intervention. And what I was shown was that the Lord doesn't normally act like this. He normally lets it evolve in a very gentle way. But we're in the time where he acts to create. So it's a very unusual time where the Spirit is brooding over the earth like waters on the seas. And the change is coming like that. You only have to look on the news every single day. People are coming back to spiritual awareness. People are coming back to meditation. People want to know where they're from, what their genetics are. We're discovering history. We're discovering quantum physics. We're starting to become space orientated, cosmological. We're seeing that we're connected in morphogenic field, quantum foam. We are connected energetically. And what we're talking about now is nothing like what was being talked about in previous moves of the Spirit. So we have to realize that wherever we're going now, we are going into an expanded heart. We are going into the great expanse of the mind of Christ. We are going into the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts to prosper you. We're going to an angelic age. You know, angels are appearing more and more. I've even got video footage of angels. They've been in the news. There's been documentaries on them. There's book after book on angels now, because the angels are the harvesters, scripture says. So they're coming to harvest, harvest the tares and release life. So, man, this is a good time to be for the future. This is a bad time to try and hold on to the old systems and old ways. You will be shaken to the core if you try and hold on to the past. Where we're going is beyond where we've been before. So anyway, I'm preaching a little bit there. So I'm just going to pause because I just want to slow myself down, because I'm speaking from reality here. And I tell you what, there are some messages where I release them and I'm holding them in my heart. What I'm holding in this one, I've seen. I'm telling you guys, I've seen this. I've been there. I participated in it. We are in the Enochian age. There's no going back to the old church model. The old church model was part of the old age. It's going. What's appearing is the sons of light, or the children of light, in a kingdom of light, born from Zion. And that will never be in a building. It will be, it can be in a building, but the focus will be transforming all creation. It will be embodied. Right. It will be the dance. It will be in space. It will be in moving through with animals, nature, creation, weather. You know, Jesus said there's a time coming where you won't go to the temple, but all of you will worship me in spirit and in truth. And he was framing up a day where Jesus was going to break the box and break out of it. Now, Jesus broke the box, but ever since then, religion and empires tried to rebuild boxes. It's too late. Jesus has broken the box. He has broken the veil, and he is releasing a realm called life, a realm called immortality, and a realm called embodiment, incarnational God in us, with us, through us. Woohoo! So Enoch, did he build the pyramid? We don't know, but what we do know is that how he walked is for us today. Enoch understood that the lifestyle he had was for a generation in the far distant future, a remote generation. He said this: I, Enoch, understood what I saw, but not for this generation which he was writing in, but for a distant generation will come. Now, this is how Enoch describes the age that we are in. It says this: when the time comes, the days of great change. So it's called the days of great change. The Lord called it the days of forced change to me before I even read Enoch. The days of great change will take place for both the holy and elect of God. All their days shall be full of light and glory, and honor will come to the holy. Great and wondrous things shall happen in the world. The faces of all angels in heaven shall shine with joy, and the very earth will rejoice. So Enoch talks of a time of incredible contradiction. He talks of a time where we are going to be illuminated the same as Isaiah did. Oh, wow. Woohoo! Woohoo! Woo! So, yes, Lord. Woo! Wow, I'm riding the wave, guys. Ride the wave with me. Be a cloud rider. Because you know, if you're on this call, you felt it in your heart. I said it last month. We are the burning hearts, because there's something in us that's burning, that's not of religion. It's not from that age of tradition and control and manipulation. It is a higher reality, a higher realm, a kinos, new creation beyond Christianity, beyond religion, beyond all these systems of control and contradiction. A new life in union with the Trinity that's innocent, holy, and limitless. We are the limitless ones, and no tradition can contain our limitlessness. Yes, we can honor them, but we can also recognize that Enoch went into this in a time where none of that existed. He walked with God. He walked in union with God. He walked in gentle oneness with God. He made God his joy. That is enough. That is Christianity in a nutshell. You can strip off all the forms and everything else. He walked in union. And he said, I'm not going to spend a single day outside of you. I love you. And he said, he became my joy. So we are in a time where it will be profound. This is what the Book of Enoch says. The righteous will arise from their sleep and will be given wisdom. We're waking up, guys. We're coming awake from our sleep.
Come on.
We've been in a coma. Let's admit it. We have. It's like, where have we been the last 1,000 years, you know? Well, what have we been thinking since the early church? We're waking up from a coma, and it says we will be given wisdom. Wisdom is clarity, Sophia, the age of wisdom. Wow. And they will root out the foundations of violence and the structure of falsehood. What a great verse. I'm going to say that again. They will root out the foundations of violence and the structure of falsehood. That's what God is raising up, the ecclesia rising, where the gates of Hades, the gates of death, will not prevail against us. We are rooting out in prayer, in court cases, in action, in new consciousness, in new morphogenic energy. We are rooting out the old paradigm with others who have a heart for the future. We are rooting out violence. We are rooting out falsehood. And we are creating a new dawn. We do not subscribe to a bad end time. We subscribe to the age of light. It's a bad end time if you're hanging on to religion. It's a bad end time if you're hanging on to greed and all those other things. You'll be outside, it says. But yet the doors will still be open with the Spirit and the bride saying, come. So we're going to create a future and say, come into it. But we are not going to be anchored to the past or a bad end time, because we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And Enoch talks of a time where the government of God will bring life and joy to the earth. Whoa. Uh-huh. So this is what it says in there. It says, from that time on, those who exercise dominion over the earth will no longer be powerful or exalted. They will no longer be able to look at the faces of the holy ones, because Yahweh will cause his light to radiate from their faces. Wow. I don't know what that looks like. I think that's wisdom. Ooh. I think it's immortality. It's the light of life. It's the light of wisdom. But that's That's what Isaiah also prophesied. This is why Enoch and Isaiah are synchronistic. They're overlapping books. That's why Isaiah's book is open now in the spirit, is that they will no longer be able to look at it, and light is coming. Illumination is coming. Transmutation, transfiguration is coming. Upon us, in us, arising out of us, because it's already in us. It's the revealing of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yahweh. Woo. Yay. Jesus himself spoke of this and said, the meek will inherit the earth. Did you know that the Book of Enoch is quoted or implied 100 times in the New Testament? It's quoted directly in Jude. Peter talks about concepts in it. Jesus quotes from it many times. Even some of the titles he uses, like the Son of Man, are from the Book of Enoch. The Son of Man was the one who sat on the throne, the one who was the glorious one, whose name we'd all be saved in. And the reason the Jews rejected the Book of Enoch, this is written by the early church fathers, is that it was too Christian. It's a Christian book. It's full of Christian ideas. Okay. So, as I said before, Enoch is a happy man, and this is going to become planet love joy. That's God's desire, that joy comes. This is what Rick Joyner said when he met Enoch. He said, I just did not expect Enoch to be anything like this, perhaps the happiest man who has ever lived. The happiest man who has ever lived. This is what we have to understand, guys. This isn't gloom and doom. This is joy unspeakable and full of glory. We are a company of people who have been invited into joy and ecstasy, living from divine union, superseding all the chaos of the world with another tree, another overshadowing, the tree of life. Oh, and joy unspeakable. It says in the Vulgate, they shall be inebriated with the plenty of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the torrent of thy pleasure. Enoch is one who drinks from the torrent of his pleasure. We have to let that age of grumpiness go and drink from the torrent of the pleasure. And I get grumpy sometimes. And we all have to let go of the grumpiness, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we are coming into the joy of the morning. And he's giving strong wine now. The sober days are over. The dry days are over. He gives the torrent of pleasure. He gives a torrent of intoxication. He gives a torrent, the plenty of thy house. Wow. As C.S. Lewis said, joy is the most serious business of heaven. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. So Enoch is a joyful person, and he has a massive sense of humor. In one dream, when I was not listening to the Lord and going off course by just taking all these invites, Enoch came and kicked me in the butt. He kicked me in the butt in the dream, and it corrected me. I stopped everything then and started asking the Lord, which invite should I take? So there's so much joy on them. When Enoch introduced me to Elijah, it shocked me and I fell over. I collapsed because he was standing behind me, as you guys know. Enoch thought that was funny. So even though Enoch is this incredible being, hyperdimensional, multidimensional, immortal, moving beyond space and time, moving beyond the cosmos even, he still has so much joy, just like Jesus. So much humor. Humor and comedy are part of heaven. When you go into the spirit, you see it's a comedy. We're in a musical and a comedy. And he sits in heaven and laughs, you know? Wow. So Rick Joyner said this in his book. He talks about this, the sword and the torch, or torch and the sword is one of these titles. I can't remember. What is it, Rachie?
Torch and sword.
In the torch, I can't talk. Torch and the sword, which I love that book, but I love the bit where he meets Enoch in the front. He writes this, I could not help but stare at Enoch. I had never seen anyone so deeply joyful or full of love. I have never seen a smile that made me feel so good, so accepted and valued. Wow. Wow. And that's how I felt when I saw Enoch. He looked like John Paul Jackson. I just felt so much love. And I felt like you can trust this guy. He looked like John Paul, and he had that essence of wisdom and kindness. And his eyes, which I've seen often in the spirit, they were like a blue color, which was like oceans. So it was like the eternal.
Yeah.
The eternal was in his eyes. The same in Elijah, the same with Jesus. It's people who've gazed into the Father, and you know that they've seen him. They've seen him. Yeah. So, you know, as a friend of mine says, there's no high like the Most High. And we are a generation that's going to rediscover God is the happy God. He is not this miserable, religious, judgmental being. Wow. He is not that. He will never be that. He is the God of love who embraces the world and hugs it to himself. And I found out recently how the Lord sees holiness, and this blew me away. I might even preach a whole session on holiness. Holiness means to participate in the life of the Trinity within themselves, and it sucks you in. Holiness doesn't push you out. Holiness pulls you in. And we are going to be holy because he's holy. And that means participating in the life of the Trinity. That's what holiness is. And it's magnetic, and it's going to draw all men into it. All people will return to the Lord and remember. Holiness isn't pushing us out like the church says. It's drawing us in. Holiness is beauty in its highest form. It's a manifestation of glory. Anyway, so Enoch found the source of bliss. So last month I was saying that this is open for everyone. Now, you know, one of the things I've learned, oh man, Father, you're going to have to help me because I'm getting waves hitting me. So hang on.
I feel it.
Wow. I'm waiting for it to move on second. Well, don't move on, Lord, but you know what I'm saying?
The wave.
Ooh, the wave. I'm getting hit by waves. I tell you what, God is on this message so much. This is a now word for the earth. This is like maybe on the earth is to deliver this message. So what I was shown by Enoch directly. Now, what I'm going to tell you comes from direct relationship. So I want you to weigh it up. Yes, you're powerful to disagree, but I feel very confident in about what I'm about to tell you. And what I'm about to tell you is this, is that Enoch told me that the whole life he walked in was very simple and that all of us are able to walk in it. It is not an exclusive walk. I said last night it started with simple union, And Enoch said this to me, communicated in language I could understand. He said, it was like I said to the Lord, I'm not doing life without you. So he said, I'm not doing this without you. I could do it without you, but I don't want to do it without you. I want you included in the garden and included in my family, included in my life. And he made Yahweh his joy. Mm-hmm. And he entwined his life into Yahweh. And it's a what he told me was, it's a choice. He said, you just choose to remember. You choose to enfold your life. You choose to be eating in him, moving in him, breathing in him, and enjoying it. Enjoying his very simple union. Mm-hmm. And he said this, he became my joy. And that's what the Lord wants for all of us, they've shown me, is that we enjoy this gentle yumminess. A gentle yumminess is all the Lord wants, more than ministry, more than anything else. We were designed for friendship. We were designed for love. Mm. And I discovered that that's the core of it. So listen to this amazing quote from Father Richard Rohr. I love Richard Rohr, beautiful Franciscan monk. He said this, whatever is going on in God is a flow, a radical relatedness, a perfect communion between three, a circle dance of love. God is absolute friendship. God is not just a dancer. God is the dance itself. So what Enoch did, he had a realization that God is absolute friendship. How often do we see God that way? It says he's a friend of sinners, and yet we always make people in Christianity separate. We always say they're outsiders. There's no outsiders in the gospel. The gospel is the radical inclusion of all of us in Jesus, and it's up to us whether we accept it or reject it. We can love it or reject it, but he's not rejecting us. We were enemies in our minds. Yet when we were dead in our sins, he died for us and hugged the world to himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. And God, when was the last time you heard someone call God absolute friendship? Like if you were to define God, well, God is absolute friendship. Julian of Norwich, the famous saint and mystic, said that God is homely. That's the word she used for God. The word homely is an old word for friendly. Yeah. He is the lover. I think it was Ignatius who said, God is the lover of the human race. See, a lot of churches don't come from that perspective. They're trying to be good enough. They're trying to live good enough. They're trying to convince people. They're trying to threaten them with hell and Hades and eternal punishment, none of which is what actually happens. And I'm going to do a series on this again. I'm not going to go off track on this, but we have to tackle some of these sacred cows, because how can God be the lover of the human race and punish people eternally? It doesn't add up. And I want to do a series where I'll go through the toughest verses in the Bible on this and show you what's written on it, because you will see the truth, and the truth will set you free, that love wins, that God is radical in his love, that even the fire, and I will show you this, is a refiner's fire. It's a refiner's fire, and that will all pass through the flame. And it's a love flame. It's a love flame. Yes, people can hang out on the edges, but even in the book of Revelation, it ends with the door open and it says the gates will never be shut. So, you know, we have got choice, but God is not this evil being who punishes people eternally. So many words that are in the modern Bible are not in the original text. And we need to look at the original text, look at the Strong's Concordance, look at Vines, look what the church father said. And then we'll come to the conclusion, religion has hijacked our faith and turned God into an ogre when he's actually the lover. He is the lover who his anger lasts a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. His anger lasts a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. We have to see every doctrine we teach through the lens of Jesus. Jesus is God's mind made up about us. Jesus is our inclusion in the Trinity. Jesus shouts loudly that God is for us. Jesus reveals our authentic Genesis and the blueprint of our design. Jesus reveals that we were God's invention from the very beginning, and we're his children. We're his lovers. Now, if you love your children, You give them punishment for consequences, but the aim is to transform them. And that's the aim with all these different realms that we create of darkness. The Lord allows us space for transformation until we yield to love, we yield to life, and we join the dance. We join the symphony. We join the wonder, and we say yes to it. And, you know, scripture says all the nations will turn and remember. They'll remember it. They will remember where they're from. They will remember where they've come from. They will remember. It says all the families of the world will remember. There's a great hope in the gospel that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, that they will all see him. We'll all know him from the least to the greatest. We have to hold on to this. Yes, there's mystery in it, but there's also great hope. We have to have a hope. Wahey! That love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And it says, what can separate us from his love? What can principalities, power, Sheol? Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent there, but I feel like I just had to mention that because the question that plays in our mind is God really good? Because how can he really be good if all that suffering happens? And that's the question that Enoch managed to press through. Because in a time where Adam had moved out of the garden and there was the Nephilim and there was giants and there was all this stuff going on in the world, Enoch, this is what Enoch told me. He said, I saw that God was good and that he wanted me. I saw it. And he embraced love. He surrendered to love, and he desired it. And even though Adam was still alive at the time, you know, that Enoch was around for some of Enoch's life, he would have heard the stories. And yet he dared to believe he could get through the flame, get back into Eden, pleasure and union. And do you know what? Scripture records this pleased God, that God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And Enoch walked with God, and it pleased God that there was a person on the earth in the darkest time in history that believed in pure, absolute friendship with the divine, that God was love through and through, and pushed through the mysteries into the substance. Wow. Wow. Are we good, Rach?
We are good.
I know it's a hot topic, but trust me, guys, we will go through this topic again, because we have to start dismantling religious paradigms of punishment, because God is love. In him is no darkness at all. And what can separate us from his love? He is the lover of the human race. He never designed humans to be eternally punished. We have to shred translations that are badly written and look at the root words and look at the meaning of them and find out, how does this fit with Jesus, who said, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, there's some yummy, yummy goodness on this. We're going to come through on this, guys. We're going to come through to a different view of God, because we have made God the wrong version of himself. God is love. God pursues the lost sheep.
Come on.
He doesn't toast the lost sheep for getting lost. He pursues the lost sheep, and he wants it all. He says 99 is not enough. He wants it all, and he will have it all. And when you see it through that paradigm, you realize that all is well and all shall be well. And you start to see what Julian of Norwich saw. She said, how does this work with my Catholic belief? She said, and the doctrine of the church. Jesus said to Julian of Norwich, you have to go higher to see this. He said, this is a mystery that you can only see in me, that all will be well, that all is well, and all shall be well. And she saw that God had the power to make all things well, the desire to make all things well, and that he would make all things well. And this has been established by the saints over and over again from generation to generation. But religion keeps hijacking the goodies. This is why it's good news for everyone. It's good news. Okay, I'm going to get back on my notes. So, guys, you're powerful. It's good. It's either good news or it's not.
Rachel, it's good. It's good news.
Rachel, is it good news?
It's really, really, really good news.
There we go. Let's just believe it's good news, okay? It's good news, guys, that God is for us, and he will never give up. It says many waters cannot quench his love. He's going to have this planet. He's going to have it. I'm not giving it back to the enemy. He's already defeated. And we are going to believe for a planet joy, because the Bible believes for planet joy. And it says the knowledge of the glory will cover the earth like waters cover the seas. To the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Woo! So coming back to Enoch, because I'm going off topic, but I am passionate about this. Yeah, I was going
to say, do you have notes you need to stick to?
I'm going to come back to my notes, but I'll tell you what, Rachie, when God started showing me about the afterlife, I remember the moment that I saw it, my heart swelled with joy, because I saw that how can anyone be lost when they're already found in him? And I saw it, and I saw that there was a logic to all of human history, and there was a logic to all of time, and I saw that they all lived happily ever after. And I can remember the exact moment that happened to me where I saw it and I tasted it. And it's taken me years to go through it all. But I saw something bigger, love. I saw how powerful love is and how every human being has incomparable value. That every human being, we are his children. Wow. Okay. So what happened next to Enoch? Enoch started to walk with God. In this union, which we can all do, we can say today, I love you, include you. And as I drink this, I'm drinking you. As I do the garden, I'm doing it with you. As I'm eating in you. And you start this creamy, gentle, simple union. So ascension came very much from that, because love starts to make you daydream. Love lifts you up. Love starts to give you higher consciousness. So what happened with Enoch? He said, clouds invited me and a mist summoned me. What does he mean by that? It means the presence was there and the presence was calling, Enoch. And many times you felt the presence on you and it's beautiful. You just rest in it. But sometimes it will call you. Listen for that. You'll feel like a tug on your heart. Yield to it and let it take you. So he started to trust the Lord and say, I trust you. And that faith pleased God. It was by faith he was taken. By faith, he believed God was truly good. This is what it says in Hebrews 11:5. Enoch enjoyed God's favor in spite of Adam's fall. That's the call. Will we believe? Will we enjoy? Wow. Will we enjoy God's favor in spite of the fall? And Enoch did this even before Jesus had come. He tapped into the new creation. He tapped into it. So you don't have to wait for another revival. You don't have to wait for a prophetic word for 2024. You don't have to wait for a new Hebrew number. What you could do is do the same as Enoch. You enter in now by faith. Faith is a heart anchored in God's goodness. Faith is a childlike heart. Faith is a heart that dares to believe. Faith has eyes to see and says, I'm in now. Guys, you're in now. You're in mega, mega inny right now. And the problem with the modern charismatic church is always looking for the next move, looking for the next thing. And whole ministries are based on that. Why don't we quit doing that and just embrace union? Because all the promises are yes in him. And the more people I've noticed are embracing union, the more the world's changing. The more people are saying, I'm in. I'm an innie right now. I'm in the wine room. I'm in his heart. I'm in Christ. I'm in heavenly realms. The more we think like that, the more the world changes. Because as a man thinks or a woman in her heart, so she is and he is. So we begin to change reality by believing. Or to put it in another way, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It never said be transformed by waiting for the next wave. Or be transformed by the next revival. No, it said think differently and then your life will be different. All you need to do, guys, on this call is enjoy God and let him gently take you, realizing he's absolute friendship, that holiness isn't pushing you away. Holiness is sweeping you into the life of the Trinity, that you're in the great dance when you're gardening, when you're reading to your children. You're in the great dance when you're in your car. You're in the great dance when you're at work. Yeah, work is part of the great dance. And that he's there moving in you and around you and through you. And the more you engage it, the more the presence rests on you and you start to have a different rhythm. And a different reality and a different whack on you, and it starts to sit on you, and then your heart is naturally drawn upwards, because God has a central magnetism where he pulls you up, or another way of saying it, he pulls you in, because it's all in you already. So Enoch enjoyed his favor, and this is the verse in Isaiah that corresponds with it. It says in Isaiah 40 verse 31, those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh will experience divine strength. Oh, Jesus, we entwine into you. Mm-hmm. Older translations say wait, but it's not the word wait. If you look in Strong's, it's the word entwine or entangle. Those who entangle into Yahweh. So you're not waiting for Yahweh, you're entangling. You're entangling, you're entwining, you're getting tangly. Get tangly with Jesus. Get tangly with Holy Spirit. You know when you can't untangle knots? Get knotty. Get knotty with Jesus. It says they will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles. They will run their race without growing weary. Mm-hmm. This is what we have to do, guys, is not grow weary because we entangle. So there's no more burnout. We get knotty. We get knotty. Oh, and it says we will walk through life without giving up. So that's what Enoch did. He entangled, he got knotty. Get knotty with the Lord. Don't wait for visitations. Be entangled. Be entangled. Be entangled. Get knotty. Oh, so start to say things like Enoch, I have favor. I am highly cherished and loved. I belong. That is the language of the happy gospel. The language of the happy gospel is I am innocent. I'm entangled. I'm permanently one with Yahweh. You're already permanently one, but we've got to enjoy it. Start to enjoy it. Get rid of all the things that you're doing that stop you enjoying it. And start enjoying it. I draw paintings, don't I, Rach? Acrylics of flowers, if you look on my Instagram. And I'm entangling in Jesus when I'm doing my acrylics. My paintings look quite girly, but I'm enjoying it because there's a joy on it. There's a frequency on it. And And you might say, what's that got to do with Enoch? Everything. Because it was about oneness. The message of Enoch is oneness. Okay. So he started to ascend and started to daydream and go up into that realm. Number three, what happened next? I talked about this last month. He was curious and childlike. So you know how like people say, don't be too heavenly minded. Enoch was like, stuff that, I'm going for it. He was like a kid in a candy store.
Wow, that's so good.
Wow. You know, get the candies, guys. And what I love about the people on this call, you love the candy store. You've been checking out Nancy Cohen. You've been checking out Mike Parsons. You've been checking out Liz Wright. You've been checking out Justin Abraham. You've been ascending. You've been checking out Ian Clayton. And you guys are the candy store guys. You're the candy kids. And I'm telling you now, the gospel is sugar-coated and creamy and delicious all the way. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Eat the honey. Eat the milk. Yeah, so Enoch was a candy guy, and he basically ran around the place seeing everything. And the angels thought this was hilarious, absolutely hilarious. And they were like, Enoch, why do you want to see this? Enoch, why do you want to see that? He was saying, because I want to. I want to. And you know what? God loved that. If you want to see the stars, ask the Lord to show you it. You want to see the different dimensions? Go and see it. You want to see the realm of angels? Go and see it. You want to see Michael? Go and see it. Why? Because a co-heir of God and Christ, and all that he has is yours. Oh my gosh, Christianity is going to explode one day. We're going to get it. we're going to realize we're in him and he's in us and all that is ours and all the promises are yes and amen. We won't need another prophecy because the testimony of prophecy is Jesus. We'll be in the dance, in the inclusion, in the wax circle, the wax circle. We'll be in the wax circle and we'll be in the candy store of grace, munching on innocence and things divine and receiving wisdom and expansion beyond anything we can ever think of dreaming.
Wow.
So I'm going to quote Paul because Paul knew this. Paul got his gospel from this realm. And he says this in Colossians 3 in the Passion Translation. Munchy munchies. He said, yes, feasts. Yes, feast. Feast on the treasures of heaven and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. Guys, we haven't been called to a fast. I keep trying fasting. It doesn't work for me. And I think the reason why it doesn't work, because we're meant to feast. We're meant to be feasting on the Lamb, feasting on his goodness, feasting on the age to come, feasting on the fatness. It says, my priests will be fat like butter fat in one translation. We will be fat and flourishing. We will feast. Yes, feast. Sit at my table. Drink my cup. I'll fill it till you overflow. We've got to start feasting. Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah! Woohoo! Because this is the new creation life, is fattiness. Fatty, fatty goodness is the new creation life. Someone who knew this was Bob Jones. And Larry Randolph told me this story when I went to visit him once. He was best buddies with Bob. And all the guys, this is a naughty story, so I hope I don't get in trouble for sharing this. But Larry Randolph was saying all the guys in church were doing a fast, but Bob and him weren't. And he said to Bob, what do you think, Bob? He said, do you think we should do a fast with everybody else? And he went, nah.
That'd be us.
Oh, I could tell you more about that story. I don't want to insult anyone. Listen, guys, if God's called you to fast, it's okay. You go for it. Everybody's different. I'm having a bit of fun. Remember, it's all comedy. But all I'm saying is there's a frequency on the gospel that makes you fat. There's a frequency. Someone's saying I can't tell half the story. All right. The rest of what you said, he said, I don't know if I should say this. I don't offend anyone. I know some people love fasting. And let me put it like this. If you love fasting, there's grace on it for you. Yeah. But Bob Jones, no, I'm not going to tell you what Bob Jones said. Let's move on. Okay. So basically Enoch loved the okay. Okay. He said, they're going to get tired and weak. And he said, you and me, Larry, we're going to be like stall fed calves, fat and flourishing. You know, his wife gave me Bob Jones's favorite sweater. It's got eagles on it. But I tell you what else it's got on it. It's got a bit of fried chicken stains. I can tell you now. I know well from many people who knew Bob that he loved fried chicken. Paul Keith told me that he did a conference with he took Bob around everywhere. He said they did one conference where every meal time Bob had fried chicken. From the same restaurant. And I tell you what, he was one of the greatest mystics of our time. We should listen to Bob. You know, Bob said, we've got to start living this. We've got to start living in the joy of the Father, the inclusion of the Father, sending into the Father. Anyway, so I was saying, everybody good? Are we good, Rachie?
We're good, yes. Yes, we're good.
Thank you. There's 500 of you are on the call. So,
which is actually the maximum we can have in this call. So lots of people can't get on at the moment. So
apologies. Sorry. I know. The maximum amount that Zoom can take right now. I'm so sorry about that. Okay. But what that tells me is this really resonates because it's in you. You know it's true. You know you were made for creamy goodness. You were made to be God's friend. That's why God made our species. The ascension, simple. We're tired of religion. We're tired of the next pop prophecy. We're tired of the separation anxiety and dryness and trying to do it and fix it and make it all happen. We are wanting to be fat and flourishing. And I want to commission you right now. as a minister of the gospel into the age of fatness. So right now I commission you in the name of the Lord. If you're up for this, put your hands up. I bless you. This is the Hebraic blessing of the many-breasted one. And I bless you right now. If you're on this call, that you would be in an age of fatness and creaminess. You're so whacked, you won't know what's happening. And you will be drinking mysteries, living in love and joy and innocence. And you will see the whole world scandalized by grace. No more will you fear, will my family get in? Or what happened to my friends that died? You will see it and you will believe it. That love wins, that God saves us single-handedly. And Enoch got it. And you're getting it because you are Enochian. You are Enochian. That's why you're on this call. That's why you found us, because it's in you. And all it is, as I'm speaking to the truth that's already in you, you were made for this. You were made for joy. Okay. So Enoch explored the mysteries, and it's okay for you to explore. I give you permission to explore and explore and explore until your friends can't even handle you because you're getting so many downloads. I'm okay with that. God's okay with that. The next thing that happened to Enoch, he became a friend of angels. And I've mentioned this before. We just did a day on angelic realms. And wasn't it beautiful, Rach?
It was. Amazing day.
I did a meditation on meeting your guardian angel. And I'm having amazing stories coming in from this. We can meet our guardian angel. We're supposed to, because we are from the age of union, where we walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus. And Jesus loves angels. He doesn't ignore them. He hangs out with them all the time. So get used to it. This is the age, guys, where the whole world is going angelic. They're going to appear all over the place. They're going to appear to children. They're going to appear in the skies. They're going to appear in your bedroom. Your eyes are going to open. You're going to encounter them. It's the age. Now, I found a name for this, which I told you guys about, Philangelus. In my good old Catholic books, I found there's a name for friends of angels. Philangelus means friendly to angels. I want to be Philangelus. And you want to be Philangelus. It's a funny word, but I want to be Philangelus. And I tell you what, Enoch was a Philangelus, a friend of angels. I'll read this to you. It says, Michael, an angel of the Lord, took me by the right hand. How about that, guys? I'm going to say that again. Michael, an angel of the Lord, took me by my right hand and helped me rise. Thank you, Lord, for your angels. We ask even now on this call that angels would take us by the right hand and help us rise. Help us rise. The angels would take us by the right hand and help us rise. And he took me to see the secrets. How about that? Would you like to be a philangelist? Philangelist? Oh, God. And he took me to the secrets of righteousness. Oh, isn't that beautiful? What's the secrets of righteousness? I don't know. I want to see them. They sound cool. He showed me all the secrets of the ends of heaven. How many of you guys want to go on a tour with Michael, Michael? Yahweh, we thank you for the angels. So he had a tour guide. Another one who took him around was Uriel and Raphael and the others. So it says, Uriel, I saw the portals of heaven opened and witnessed how the stars of heaven come forth. And I counted the portals. All this I was shown and taught by the angel Uriel, Michael. I love how the Hebraic people say it. I love their meditations. Michael, Uriel. Just say it, guys. Michael. And Uriel, Raphael, Gabriel. Oh, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful? I love angels. Guys, there's no future outside of angelic. The angels are the harvesters, and the end of the age is angelic. We've been born into something. Even the ecclesia, and I said this in the angelic realms day, even the ecclesia to display God's wisdom to principalities and powers in celestial arenas. The whole story playing out in humanity is for the cosmos. Go into all the cosmos and preach to every creature. It's because God is revealing a deep mystery through humanity that he is love. He is love. And it's flipping the tables on all creation. It really is. It's sending waves out right now, even what we're saying. Okay. So it says of Enoch, it says his life was spent with these holy ones, the watchers of heaven. His life was, guys, can you feel the angelic around you right now? Those of you on the call, just connect the angelic. I feel a lot of joy angels and play angels happening right now. It's charged. I can feel it on you guys. Wow. Awaken it. Play angel, someone's saying, yeah, because play is the frequency of the next age. Recreation is play, recreation. We play the future. We play music. We play and dance and sing because a childlike heart is a kingdom heart, and it's all for joy. Wow. So Enoch prophesied this was going to happen on the earth. Now I'm going to share a prophecy with you, which I've never shared in a message before. This is so cool. I only found it this week, but in the book of Enoch, there's an incredible verse. You ready for this? It's about angels coming and hanging out with you in your house. So Enoch said this. Are you ready? This is beautiful. I want it. If you want it, just say, I'm having this. He said, I saw the houses of holy people. Are you a holy people? I think so. That they lived. I saw the houses of the holy people that they lived alongside his righteous angels. Guys, we're going to live on alongside. Wow, that was a strong wave. It's still happening. I'm just waiting for it to ebb a second. I just literally saw a door opening there. There's a door opening right now over us for the angelic. Because what we've honored, we are receiving. I could see a door right now with angels. Thank you, Yahweh. Wow. Woo. Okay. Whoa. Wow, 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 wow. Wow.
Hey.
I saw the houses of holy people. Whoa. Whoa, Lord. Whoa. Whoa. Thank you, Yahweh. Wow. Whoa. Wow. There's an angel talking to me right now. Woo. Woo-hoo. Oh, thank you, Yahweh. Thank you. Oh. See, we've got to get used to this, guys. And Rachel and I have been talking about this. I'm not going to be a normal preacher anymore. I'm not. Because often the heavenly realms comes in and I keep going because I've got an audience. And we've agreed, Rachel and I have been talking about this. I'm not going to keep talking when these things appear because, and if I can't be in ministry because of it, that's okay. Because the realms are blurring now, and I think we have to realize it's not going to be normal anymore. It's going to be weird. It's going to have wonder on it. Like these angels appearing and talking to me right now in the middle, talking to you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Father.
And, you know, when I was doing the angelic realms the other day, the cloud of witnesses came in, and instead of just stopping, I kept talking. And we've agreed, Rachel and I, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to, because I want to know what happens if we stop what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And we make space for things we've never seen before, because I know that's what we're waiting for. That's what's going to change the world. We are not going into normal times, and we better be ready to just allow heaven to move in ways that are beyond our understanding. God does not have to explain himself to us. Thank you, Yahweh.
Yeah, come on, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. What I'm seeing right now is that a door's opened and I can see it through there. And there are angelic beings, but I heard one of them speak, and it was saying that the answers come. The answers come. And I think we've been a generation that have been contending, and it's been God's will that we contended for incredible days, days of wonder. And what I'm seeing is the assignment's complete. That the thing that we've asked for is now coming upon the earth. The thing that we've prayed for in the prayer movements and the prayer houses is now being manifest. And that season is complete. And what I feel is some of you will feel that when you're praying, it's like it's not the same anymore. And I believe it's because it's done. It's done. The thing that we've contended for, the thing that we've prayed for, is now coming towards us. The answer is at the door. The realm is at the door. And we are not now in the season of praying for it to come. We are in the age of receiving a kingdom. Mm-hmm. Are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And it's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of us, but wow. Mm-hmm. But all is well.
That's right.
And all shall be well. Mm-hmm. And the dynamic is going to be very different, the season that we're in. But even for some of you on the call, I can hear like they're like calling your name. It's like they're all calling you. They're calling your name and they're calling you in. And I can see these angels that gather, all these angels reaching through to you, reaching through to you. And I can see that the things that you've prayed for your family, the things you've wanted for your children is here. That there's a grace coming upon our generation that's unprecedented. And it says all the families of the earth will remember. And there's a family realm being released, a family blessing, a family dimension. Now, Enoch had this. He had Methuselah, he had Noah, he had a generational realm. And this is what is happening, is a generational realm is being released now that will not be broken.
Oh.
Wow. And I'm seeing from the angelic that there's going to be an acceleration over you. And it's opening a portal, a realm is opening over your bed, over your house, over who you are. A canopy is opening of glory and Shekinah, and it's coming upon you, and it's going to remain upon you and abide upon you. And you are going to be radically infused with faith and joy. We've toiled in the wilderness, but now we are entering into the promise.
Oh.
We're entering into the age of the promise being fulfilled. We are entering into the age where the wilderness will bloom. The wilderness will bloom. Just receive that now. If this word is resonating for you.
Yes.
That he has given us the keys of the kingdom. Wow. Okay, are you guys good? Everybody good?
Yeah, everyone looks good, honey. Powerful.
You know, Rachel and I have been talking a lot. It's not going to continue as it has. And even like with my preaching, I feel like a transition. I'm not going to be just giving information anymore. It's a realm. It's the realm of love. It's the realm of the spirit that we need more than information. It's the realm. Wow, I'm so wrecked now.
It's okay.
I didn't get through half of my message, and this was month two.
But that's the thing that we were saying, is just stopping.
Yeah. So I think I'll continue this next month then, because I haven't got through it, and clearly this is on this is in the spirit. This is a deep realm.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Yahweh. Okay, somebody's saying keep going. I just pause in a second because I'm trying to learn how to synchronize with this realm. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you for Enoch. Thank you that is simple entanglement with you. And there's no going back. It's a new kainos creation, and it's already begun. It's already begun. It's just going to unfold naturally, like dawn light breaking over the hills. An age of beauty and wonder. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh. Rachel and I have been having a lot of conversations recently, trying to figure out how to administrate what's happening, because I feel like it's gone to a totally different level. And all around the world, people are messaging us, and it's like the ministry's exploded, but it's not because of a ministry, it's just because of what's going on in the spirit. There is such a massive shift happening across the world. And it really is. We're going to have to just be childlike and trust each step at a time as we outwork this, because the angelic and the realm is opening up so much. Thank you, Yahweh.
Yeah.
Papa, I thank you for everyone on the call. That they yearn for the entanglement. So we entangle into you, and we make a very simple choice today to drink from great grace. We let go of the past and the familiar. We let go of sin consciousness and religion, and we enfold and entangle in the Trinitarian absolute friendship. That we are loved and we're fully in, and all that belongs to you is now ours. We open our heart to the heavenly. We open our heart to wisdom. We open our heart to immortality. We open our heart to the angels. We open our heart to our full inclusion in the life of the Trinity, that you are absolute friendship and love. We let go of fear of punishment. We let go of fear of what will happen in the future. For we know the plans you have for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us. We let go of the punishment model. We let go of fear for all the lost.
That's right.
And we put our trust in you, that you're the savior. Paul said, you are the savior of all, but especially those who believe. We thank you, Yahweh, that you are safe hands and that you are the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, and all is well and all shall be well. And this mystery is now being revealed in creation, that God saves us single-handedly and that we're in. We're in. We've always been in, and we always will be in. Thank you, Yahweh, for the mystery of ages, which is Christ in us, that we are in, radically in, and nothing can separate us from this love. So we yield to love, and we yield to the glorious future, and we receive it with joy. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh. Amen.